All right, the first week of Christmas, Russ talked about how Jesus was fully human, his incarnation. The second week of Christmas, Bucky preached about how Jesus was fully God, his divinity. Then last weekend in the story of Jesus' birth, those two aspects of God is fully human, fully divine, came together so clearly. Jesus was born like any human baby in pretty humble accommodations at that. But on the other hand, his birth was divine. Angels announced his birth as a Savior and Messiah, and a new star appeared in the sky. I hope that some of you had a wonderful time with the family and friends celebrating God's coming to earth as a baby. This week, we are going to answer the question, so what is our reaction to knowing that Jesus was fully God and fully man? As some of you might know, I am Don Schmitz. Who? Don Schmitz, yes. Alan Schmitz's husband, friend of Carrie and Corey's, the guy who usually sleeps during the sermon. Oops. Sorry, no, I didn't really say that. At this point, some of you are wondering what my qualifications are for preaching today. None. I have none. Carrie just knows that whenever she asks me, I'll do it. No problem. Over the years, I've played Herod a few times. He really was a crazy, disturbed, irrational guy, unlike me. Here's his bio from the Life Application Study Bible. Okay, if I can see it and read it, this is really going to be good. Oh, boy. The Bible, oh my goodness. The Bible records history. It has proven itself an accurate and reliable record of people, events, and places. Independent historical accounts verify the Bible's descriptions and details of every famous life. One of these was the father of the Herodian family, Herod the Great. Herod was, Herod is remembered as a builder of cities and a lavish rebuilder of the temple in Jerusalem. But he also destroyed people. He showed little greatness in either his personal actions or his character. He was ruthless in ruling his territory. The suspicious and jealousy led to the murder of several of his children and the death of his wife Miriam. Herod's title, King of the Jews, was granted by Roman, but never accepted by the Jewish people. He was not part of the Davidic family line, and he was only partly Jewish. Although Israel benefited from Herod's lavish efforts to repair the temple in Jerusalem, he won the admiration because he was also rebuilt various pagan temples. Herod's costly attempt to gain the loyalty of the people failed because it was superficial. His only loyalty was to himself. Because his royal title was not genuine, Herod was constantly worried about losing the position. His actions, when hearing from the wise men about the search for the new king, are consistent with all we know about Herod. He planned to locate and kill the child before he could become a threat. The murder of innocent children that followed is a tragic season in what happened when actions are motivated by selfishness. Herod's suspicions did not spare even his own family. His life was self-destructive. Wow. Thank you. I barely got through that. So, he is a fun character to portray in a skit, but I really wouldn't want to meet him. Let's look at the reactions of the kings in the story today. They both sought out Jesus, but for different reasons. I don't need this anymore. I can see. Herod felt threatened. Matthew 2:3 tells us that not only Herod was disturbed, but all of Jerusalem. Matthew 2 says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is one who was born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So when Jesus was born, people immediately began to react to his presence. Everyone wasn't soothed and comforted, as we sometimes imagine. Instead, it startled and disturbed some of them. When we study the kind of king Herod was to the Jewish people, we can see why they would be disturbed. In some people, Jesus' birth awakened spiritual longings. Excuse me. I missed my place. I shouldn't have done that. Where am I? Okay, I'm sorry. In some people, Jesus' birth awakened spiritual longings, and in others, fear and insecurity. Things have not changed much today. Some people are fearful of asking Jesus into their life because they might have to change or have to give up control. Or they might be insecure about asking Jesus into their life because they don't feel good enough. I hope you are past feeling fearful and insecure because Jesus has a wonderful plan for your life that's better than you can imagine. And he loves you and accepts no matter what you are. So back to our original question. What is our reaction to knowing Jesus? We must acknowledge him as the rightful king of our lives. And how do we do this? In this, we can follow the example of the Magi in Matthew 2. Verse 9 states, after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Like the wise men did, we need to seek out Jesus. And when we find him, what should we do? Like the wise men, we need to worship and bow down and give him our treasures. We come together on Sunday afternoon to worship, but is it only one day a week we need to do this? I don't think so. What does it look like to worship on a day-to-day basis? Romans 12, 1 through 2 gives us a picture. Paul writes, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. God has a good, pleasing, and perfect plan for us. He wants us to be transformed people with renewed minds, living to honor and obey Him. Because He wants only what is best for us, and because He gave His Son to make our new life possible, we should joyfully give ourselves as living sacrifice for His service. When we serve Him, when we obey His will, when we serve others, we worship Him. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven." If we are letting our light shine by doing good deeds, we are glorifying God and so worshiping Him in all we do. If we live for Christ, we will show others that Christ is like, what Christ is like. Sometimes we hide our light by being quiet when we should speak, going along with the crowd, denying the light, letting sin dim your light, not explaining our light to others, or by ignoring the needs of others. Then we are not truly worshiping God in all we do. All of life is the outshining of what you truly value and cherish and treasure. Therefore, all of life is worship, either of God or something else. Going back to Romans 12:2, we are asked to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God. But have you heard that the problem with living sacrifices is that it keeps crawling off the altar? It's hard in our daily lives with all our distractions to continually focus on God and worship Him. That is why we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. When we have Christ in our lives, we are new creations, and through His Spirit, our minds can be renewed. But like the saying, wise men still seek Him. We do need to seek Him and worship Him daily. What does this look like for you? For me, it might be listening to Christian radio and praying spontaneous, like I am now, throughout the day. For all of us, it should mean being in His Word, the Bible, on a daily basis. If you're like me, this can be a struggle. So I'm glad that I hear in January, both the kids and the adults are going to be studying the Bible. What it is, where it came from, and how to study it. If we know what's in the Bible, we know how to obey God. And by obeying God, we worship Him in all we do. So, let's worship Him with one more song. But keep in mind, worship isn't just singing. Sorry. It's what we do all week. Amen.